Hi, my name is Sam Williams, and welcome to part one of episode number 107 of Mid-60 Music Podcast, Millennial Throwback Machine. So first of all, I'd like to welcome all you to part one of episode number 107 of my 60 Music Podcast, Millennial Throwback Machine. I'm Sam Williams, and for those of you who are just now discovering this podcast, either on the Apple Podcast app, or in Stitcher, or on iHeartRadio, or on Google Play Music, or on Spotify, and you're wondering, so what the heck is, I'm just going to give you a brief description of what the show is all about. Okay, so I'm Sam Williams, and I am a 24-year-old songwriter slash producer, but I'm also a huge 60 music fan slash expert slash nerd. And each week with this podcast, I take one song by one artist in the 60s, put the show in two parts. First part of the show, talk about my opinion of the song and why I think it's so good or why I think it sucks, and then do my own personal analysis on the arrangement of the song, which will include the chords, melody, and lyrics. And the second part of the show, dig deep into the history behind that track. In that part of the show, talk about who wrote the song, who produced it, who are the musicians on the track, whether it be the session musicians or the band members themselves, studio the songs that were recorded at, where those studios were located at, and the name of the label the song was released on, where that label is located at, and the history behind the songwriters that wrote the song, the producer that produced it, the artist that performed it, and the musicians that played on it, whether it be the band members, the musicians themselves, and the year and month the song was originally released, and what P position the song made up originally in the Billboard Hot 100 charts, and all that is in the second part of the show. Now, just a little FYI, I have a very exciting announcement for you guys. I'm going to say that for the end of this week's episode of this podcast, and I'll give you a hint. It's something I've been talking about for a while, and it's something I've been kind of giving you guys a little bit of a heads up on for quite a while, but it's done, and I can't wait to share with you guys what I have to tell you, the exciting new thing that happened to me this week, and I'll tell you more about that at the end of this week's episode of this podcast. But for now, let's get started in this week's song, shall we? Okay, so I was going through my episodes of my podcast, and I've noticed something. I've covered a lot of genres on the show. I've done folk rock, I've done British Invasion, I've done psychedelic rock, I've done Motown, I've done Chicago soul, I did Southern soul, Muscle Shoals, and Stax. I mean, I have covered so much ground on this podcast. I've done the Teen Idols. I mean, there's just so much stuff that I've covered. I've done Philly soul. I mean, I've done so many types of groups. I've done Nashville sound, you know, stuff. You know, I've done so many, covered so many genres of music all within the same decade in the 60s. But there's one genre of music that I've kind of barely scratched the surface on, to be honest with you. And through the history of this podcast, over the over 100 episodes I've done, I have only done one song within this genre. And to be honest with you, I have interviewed someone who is a member of a band that did fall into this genre, but that's it. I've only done one song, and I've only, you know, basically only did one song within the genre, and I've interviewed a guy who was in a band that covered this genre, but basically that's about all I've done within this genre of music. And that genre of music is psychedelic rock. Now, I think the reason why I've been kind of avoiding doing psychedelic rock for all this time is because I kind of wanted to get people's heads out of the whole caricature stereotype that 60s music can bring to people, that, you know, it was all psychedelic, drugged out rock music, you know, with acid sounding effects and lyrics that make absolutely no sense. Yeah, I mean, psychedelic rock was a genre that was around in the 60s, but it wasn't the only type of music that you could listen to and that was on the radio. I mean, heck, I mean, with the songs that were playing alongside those psychedelic rock songs were, you know, those British Invasion pop songs and, you know, R&B soul music. So it was definitely more of a varied decade of music. It wasn't all psychedelic rock, but I you know, the stereotypes that people have about 60s music, when people So when people think of 60s music, the first type of music that comes to mind is psychedelic rock. And because people associate that with the Haight-Ashbury hippie movement and with the what happened in San Francisco with Woodstock. I mean, the whole peace love thing going on with all with the hippies and the, you know, and the sex rebellion. I mean, people automatically tie in psychedelic rock with that. But again, it wasn't, you know, that was only a small portion of the 60s. I mean, I've talked about the early 60s and how that was pretty much non-existent at that time and how innocent that music was compared to the late 60s. But I feel like it's time that I dive into the genre again, but focus on some of the more not so well-known, you know, psychedelic rock songs that weren't done by bands like Big Brother and Holding Company and The Doors and Jefferson Airplane and some of the really big names. And covers some of the lesser known psychedelic rock songs that fall into the same vein as like Jimi Hendrix. I mean, this is a very Hendrix sounding song, but again, you know, it's not a really well known song within the psychedelic rock genre. And you pretty much only would know it if you grew up in the 60s or if you grew up listening to oldies radio like me. But this is another one of the songs. Actually, the funny story, I didn't really hear the song growing up while listening to Kareth 101. I only pretty much heard it when I started listening to satellite radio on the station I still listen to this day called 60s on 6, which plays all 60s hits all day, every day, 24/7 with no commercials. And this was the first time I heard the song. I never heard it on Kareth 101, and to this day, when I listen to it, I think to myself, I don't know if I like this song entirely. And look, I just want to make a full disclosure about psychedelic rock right now before I get into this week's episode of this podcast. I can't guarantee you that you're going to be in love with these songs. You might listen to these songs and be like, this is really not my cup of tea. It's not my style. And look, if you feel that way about this music, I get it, because many of these songs, you know, the lyrics to these songs, a lot of times you won't be able to wrap your head around them at all. You'll be like, what the heck is he saying? Like, what do these lyrics mean? And look, they're kind of psychedelic music is at the time, the rock, psychedelic rock was meant to be sort of kind of like abstract pieces of art where you're not exactly going to know exactly what the meaning of the song lyric is. It's supposed to be just, you're supposed to basically make up your mind and create your own interpretation of it. And half the time it was just meaningless lyrics, and everyone was just high out of their minds when they wrote the lyrics to these songs. And that a lot of times is true. Sometimes it wasn't true, but a lot of times it was true. And in this particular case with this particular song, I think that is true in this case. But I mean, I can't guarantee you're gonna love this stuff. You might think these songs are awful, and if you do, that's perfectly fine with me. I mean, just let me know if you don't like these songs. But again, I just kind of wanted to show you guys kind of what happened, you know, with rock music and what was happening as far as the evolution it made from the early to mid 60s, kind of the British invasion of this specific genre of music. And trust me, you're gonna know the artist that recorded the song. You're going to know who he is. It's, you know, he has a very recognizable name. He just passed away recently, but you're probably not going to know that he actually did dive into this genre. But I'm just going to get to the song before I say anything more about it. But anyways, this song came out in the fall of 1967, and it actually made the charts January, February of 1968. It's by a band called Kenny Rogers in the First Edition. It's called Just Dropped In. In parentheses, to see what condition my condition is in.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. I found my...
Wow. Okay, I just took some shrooms and I literally just went, I'm really, really high right now. Okay, I'm just kidding. But anyways, yeah, so again, this is a weird song. And you can tell just by the intro how weird this song is. And again, it's not something I think you would like unless you're in a really weird, super crazy science fiction movies with just the most insane shit ever. But I mean, I hear it's not going to be one of those songs that you're going to like unless you're really into the weird, you know, science fiction horror movies. But again, if you like that stuff, you'll love this song. But anyways, it is an interesting song, both musically and lyrically. And in this week's episode of my podcast, I'm going to get into what makes this song so interesting. It may not be great, but it's just it what makes a song so interesting, both musically and lyrically. But first, let's get into the song's music. Okay, so this song, it's so typical of the psychedelic rock genre, and I'm just going to talk with you about a couple things before I dive into the song's chord progression and the structure of the song. I'm going to talk with you about a couple very signature characteristics of psychedelic rock, some very specific arrangement characteristics that you're gonna find these characteristics in songs by Cream, Jimi Hendrix, Jefferson Airplane. I mean, even some Grateful Dead stuff too, even though I never really heard a lot of that great stuff. But anyways, any psychedelic rock song, it's gonna have all these characteristics in it. One, there's always gonna be more of an emphasis on the lead guitar. The lead guitar is gonna be front and center. So there's always gonna be really, really cool guitar solos on you know, these psychedelic rock records, you know, because the lead guitar playing is always going to be really, really good. And two, the effects that the lead guitar player uses on these songs, you know, kind of give the illusion, the sort of drugged, fizzed out psychedelic illusion. And these effects include fuzz tone, wah-wah, and backwards phase. And a lot of times tremolo too, and backwards tremolo too, like it is, like how it is in the intro of the song. So you're always going to hear those things in psychedelic rock songs, and the vocals a lot of times are going to be heavy on the effects too. You're going to hear a lot of the same kind of effects, backwards phase, tremolo, you know, a lot of that, a lot of flanger, which basically, if you don't know what flanger is, it's basically, it's a tape effect where you're kind of, it's a very strange tape effect where it kind of, it's very weird, but it's been used in a lot of psychedelic rock songs, you know, in songs like Ichigo Park by the Small Faces, but you're always going to hear that in a lot of these, you know, psychedelic rock songs. The flanger, you know, the tremolo, the backwards phase, you're always going to hear that in a lot of these psychedelic rock songs. And this song literally has all that. And it's also got the organ, too. That's a very another key characteristic of psychedelic rock. The organ is always going to be front and center. Sometimes it was a B3, sometimes it was a Vox Continental, sometimes it was a Farfisa. So it really all depends. I mean, the Doors used a Vox Continental, but then, you know, Steppenwolf, who was really, really good and big in the psychedelic rock, also used a B3. So really, it all depends. But the organ was always a very big characteristic in psychedelic rock, you know. So with all those things combined, all those effects give the illusion that the person that recorded and wrote the song was totally high when they recorded it, you know. And a lot of times, even if that wasn't true, a lot of, you know, producers at the time that worked within psychedelic rock wanted to give people the illusion that that was what was going on. And, you know, there was either drugs happening during the recording session, or, you know, drugs, or, you know, the musicians did drugs before the session, and the people who wrote the song did drugs. There was all that was being creeped into a lot of these songs. And because of this, you know, the harmony in a lot of these psychedelic rock songs is because they give sort of a darker sort of drug-infused effect with a lot of these psychedelic rock songs, the harmony is most of the time going to be in minor keys. A lot of these psychedelic rock songs either going to be in minor keys, or there's going to be a lot of modal interchanges, almost kind of like, you know, you have weird key changes happening, you know, different leaps and different things going on. You know, you're always going to hear that in psychedelic rock. It's never going to be super happy, major, sort of typical, you know, like the doo-wop and the pop stuff of the early 60s. You're never going to hear any major seven or minor sevens. It's always going to be either minor key triads or weird modal interchanges that make that, you know, like, for example, like, you know, for example, like, you know, you kind of just, you start in a major key, and then you go to the minor key, and then you go back to the major key. You know, it's, you know, you're always going to hear that in a lot of these songs. And there's going to also a lot of times, there's also a lot of deceptive cadences that happen too, and as well as picadary thirds. Now, what happened, if you don't know what that is, that basically means that the whole song is in a minor key, but the tonic is the chord that the song ends on is a major chord. So yeah, again, you're gonna hear a lot of that in psychedelic rock, and also with the harmony of the song, there's a lot of key changes going on with this particular song. And let's just talk about the intro for a second. When you hear the intro, you hear that weird sort of psychedelic tone going on with the backwards, tremolo with the guitar, and then you hear the vocals come in. You hear that backwards phase and that flanger, and basically that tremolo right away. And then basically the song starts out. And now the chord progression for the song isn't too exciting. I mean, it's basically just like 1-4 and then 1-5 and then basically 1 and then basically goes 3 and then to the 4 and then 1 and then 1 7, and it's very typical of, psychedelic rock songs. D minor to G, and then basically D minor to A, and then D minor to F to G, G minor. I mean, it's basically very typical. There's nothing too exciting about it. It basically ends in that typical minor thing where it's like, D minor to A, which is like 1-5, D minor. So, and then here's the thing. It does that, but then basically what happens is that it does that chord progression, and that chord progression basically repeats itself, throughout the song. It starts in D minor, and then it does the key change to E flat minor. It is the same chord progression, and then it does another key change to E minor. So it goes from D minor, E flat minor to E minor. And then basically what happens is that in between those key changes, they do this really weird chord progression where it almost sounds like they're trying to go into another key, but they're not. And there's other chords happening in that section of the song. And again, this is very typical of this genre. You're always going to hear the weirdest chord changes ever. You're not going to hear too much in other songs. You're always going to hear, minor 4 chords and minor 6 chords. Actually, sorry, minor 5 chords and minor 4 chords. You're always going to hear, just the weirdest shit imaginable. And this is what happens in that middle section of the song, like right in between each key change. And also, when the song modulates to E flat minor, there's that really cool guitar solo in that song where, again, they use that backwards phase and the tremolo and the flanger. It all happens. And then there's this really tension building section of that song where you hear the toms, basically hit those quarter notes. Actually, they're hitting eighth notes. You hear the toms hitting those eighth notes. And then the guitar player does this really weird, again, it's all this, all of the things in the song want to give the listeners the illusion that there's drugs happening, or there were drugs made during the recording session or when the song was being written. And that's kind of the illusion that the song gives to you in this particular track. And you hear a lot of that in the song. Now, the other weird part about this song is the ending, because the ending of the song is so strange, because literally it ends with that last little hook, right? That's a really cool hook, by the way. That, yeah, that's a really cool hook. I like that a lot. But at the end of the song, basically what happens is that they go through the normal structure. They do that weird section where they do that weird key change right before the other key change. And then the song almost drops out. The tempo goes a certain direction, and then there's almost kind of this big fat retard at the end. And then basically there's a way extra out of key notes happening, in the song. Another key instrument in the song is a vibraphone, because a vibraphone signals all the weirdest musical parts of the song. They signal those weird chords happening, you know, right before the regular key changes happen, you know, the vibraphone is right there for all of those parts. And the vibraphone, the xylophone basically is there. I'm not sure if it's a xylophone or vibraphone. It's one of those instruments, but that instrument is there at the very end when they do that little vocal hook, and then the song basically, you know, it almost as a breakdown, you know, where basically they do that dun, 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 dun. And then basically the song, the ends, it's so creepy. You almost hear, it's almost kind of like they were using automation in this part of the song, because what happens is that you hear the ending chord, which is one of the, it's E minor, but there's a lot of extra notes in there, and it sounds so weird, and it's creepy because it starts out quiet, and then once you get to the very end of the song, before the song cuts off, it gets loud, you know. And basically I think how they did that is that they included automation. They automated the part so that way it starts quiet and then it gets louder as that last chord basically rings out, and then it just the song ends. But you know, you hear and basically that happens with the organ, it happens with the guitar. The guitar does a lot of weird fills, and again, it's so weird and it's so creepy. But again, I feel like that's kind of the vibe that you kind of get with psychedelic rock songs. Some of these songs, you might be completely freaked out by them because they're just weird and they're just strange, and they'd be perfect soundtrack for horror movies. But again, I feel like that's kind of the vibe that a lot of these musicians are trying to achieve with songs like this. And now chances are they probably didn't do any drugs when they recorded the song, but the person that wrote the song probably did drugs. But again, you know, it's one of those songs that it's so weird, you know. And also the song is very weird lyrically too. I'm gonna go into that in right now, actually. Okay, so I'm not going to spend too much time analyzing and breaking down these songs' lyrics, because let's be honest, they make absolutely no fucking sense, and that is absolutely true. Because you'll never understand what these songs are about lyrically. You just won't, because they just make no sense. I mean, I woke up this morning with the sun down shining in. I found my mind the brown paper bag within. I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I broke my mind through a jagged sky. I mean, the lyrics make absolutely no sense. I mean, it's just nonsense. You know, I mean, I pushed my soul in a deep dark hole and then I followed it in. I watched myself calling out as I was crawling in. I got up so tight I couldn't unwind. I fell so much I broke my mind. I mean, there's nothing about the lyrics of the song makes any sense whatsoever. And just to put it bluntly, the guy was probably doing heroin or LSD or some really hard psychedelic drug or mushrooms, whatever. He was probably doing some kind of drug when he wrote the lyrics of the song. It's just that simple. I mean, the lyrics probably absolutely don't make any sense, and there's probably no hidden underlying meaning behind the lyric of the song. There's no, it's not, it's you're not, you just don't try to read in between lines with this, the lyrics of the song. It's just, it's, they're weird, they make absolutely no sense. It's a psychedelic rock song. The guy was probably on drugs when he wrote the song, and the song is probably about people who actually did drugs like heroin and LSD and acid and, you know, and things of that nature. And it's probably a song really all about that stereotypical 60s counterculture. And basically that's the gist of the lyrics of the song. Don't try to overanalyze it. I mean, you know, 8 miles out of Memphis and I got no spare. 8 miles straight up downtown somewhere. Someone painted April Fools in big black letters on a dead end sign. I mean, there's just no making sense of the lyrics for the song. It's just nonsense. And I would go on for, there's nothing much else to say other than that these lyrics just don't make any sense. And that is very typical of psychedelic rock songs, because they often featured lyrics like this. And again, the guy was probably on drugs when we wrote the song, and there's a lot of other songs that are just like this. Now, there are some psychedelic rock songs that do have deep introspective lyrics that, you know, do make a lot more sense. I mean, the Doors songs tend to have not so trippy psychedelic lyrics, but they tend to be trippy psychedelic on the music side, but not so much on the lyric side, but more, there's more poeticism in those, in their songs. But again, you know, it's just, don't try to make sense of the lyrics of the song, because you won't. Don't try to think, don't try to try to even dare try to figure out what the lyrics of the song mean, because again, it's just, it, you know, drugs are probably involved when he wrote the song, and that's all there is to it. So with that being said, that's basically the gist of this particular song. It's weird, and again, if you like weird horror movies or weird, you know, science fiction movies, then you'll like the song, because it's kind of up that alley, if you know what I mean. So that concludes part one of episode number 107 of my 60 Music Podcast, The Millennial Throwback Machine. I'm Sam Williams, and if you liked my analysis on this week's song, you found it interesting, you've never heard this song before, and you were intrigued by it because you've actually heard songs by The Doors and Jimi Hendrix and Jefferson Airplane, and you kind of like the psychedelic rock stuff, and you thought, wow, this is a really cool song within the same genre, but I've never heard it before, and it sounds really good, and I like the psychedelic rock music. And if you're a millennial, then please email me at samltwillyiglaw.com, or you can also reach out to me on Instagram at iHeartOldies, and drumroll please, you can also check out more of my original music at my new and improved website, which I published this week, at samwilliamsmusic.net. Yep, that's right. My new and improved website is out. It is, you can click on the link to it in the description of this week's episode of this podcast. You know, the podcast section for, you know, this podcast, you know, for my website, it looks amazing. It looks really, really good. You'll be able to stream all of the episodes of my podcast on there. No problems. You can click all the links in the descriptions of each episode of my podcast through my website. And that's really cool, because let's just say, look, you don't have an account with any podcast listening platform, whether it's Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Play Music, Spotify, Apple. If you don't have an account with any of those things and you want to listen to my podcast completely 100% for free without having to create an account with any podcast listening platform, then you can go on my website and listen to it there for free, and you don't have to create an account with any of those podcast listening platforms. It's really, really cool if you just want to listen to my podcast completely for free. You can find all my episodes on there, and if you scroll down, if you click the more button, you'll be able to load more past episodes of mine. It's really, really cool. I would love if you guys can check out my new website and let me know what you think of the description of, basically, of, you know, my website, and the link to my website in the description of this week's episode of my podcast. We'll love it if you guys could check it out. Also, as per usual, the links you can find are basically the Spotify and YouTube playlist for this podcast. Here you'll be able to find all the songs I've talked about on my show so far, including some ones I've mentioned in interview episodes, and we'll love you if you guys can check those out as per usual. And again, that will let you know what kind of songs to talk about on my show, and if that gives you any ideas for any kind of songs to talk about next on my podcast that I haven't yet, please email those ideas to me at samltwilliamsicloud.com. You can also reach out to me on Instagram at iHeartOldies. And by the way, my website is a little mailing list, and if you basically include your email on there, I'll be able to basically I'll get your email as well, which is really cool. But yeah, so also you can check out the official Redbubble merch store for this podcast. Again, another really cool thing about the show. Basically, what's on there is this really cool logo that I didn't design, but I came up with the idea for. It's basically the catchphrase I say at the end of every episode and keep on trucking, tie-dye font with the name of my podcast in the bottom. And basically, it's on a bunch of really cool merch items through Redbubble. Would love it if you guys can make a purchase. You know, I would really appreciate that. You can basically, what you can do is that if you do decide to make a purchase, please email me. Let me know at samltwilliamsicloud.com. You know, or if not, definitely just let me know what you think of the prices of each item in the store and the logo itself. I love your feedback on all that. So again, next week I'm going to dive into the history behind I'm going to go in the history behind psychedelic rock and how it even became a genre to begin with, and what were the songs that kind of kickstarted that genre, and also talk about the history behind this band. Because this is another one of those bands that in the beginning didn't really play on their own records, but I'll get into that in next week's episode of this podcast. But again, and you'll be surprised that, yeah, this is the Kenny Rogers, the guy that, you know, was the big famous country singer that died recently. Yeah, this is his song. But anyways, I'll get more into that in next week's episode too. But anyways, I'm Sam Williams, and thank you for joining me for this week's episode of my podcast, Millennial Throwback Machine. Until next week, please keep things groovy.